He would not go. Because of the vision, he went. Well, the kind of long story short, he preached the gospel. And as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit moved. And in Acts 10, as he came back to Jerusalem, people have heard he has crossed the boundary and gone to the Gentiles. Everyone heard he has crossed the boundary where no man has gone before, up to that time. He has crossed a boundary where no man has gone before. Up to that time, no Jew, no evangelist, no apostle, no prophet, no teacher has ever gone to the Gentiles yet. And having crossed the boundary, everybody heard about it. And that's where Acts 10 comes in. When he came back from the nice, powerful revival meeting, you would have thought that everybody would be happy. In Acts 11, verse 2, when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, so we shall call them the circumcision party, those of the circumcision said, "You went in to uncircumcised men and you ate with them." Yes, he did. Because after the revival, he must have stayed back for their lunch fellowship, dinner fellowship, and ate unkosher food because God told him to eat. So he ate with them, supped with them. This little group that was resisting what God was trying to do, the traditions were holding them back, dare to challenge Peter. And remember who Peter is in the church. He was one of the big boss in the church. Remember, he John, and all the others, they were among the top people in the church. When they came back, remember also that Peter had signs and wonders. They've seen the shadow of Peter healing people in Acts 5. This group of people were so determined by the blindness of their tradition, they cannot see beyond their circle, cannot see beyond their square, cannot see beyond their culture. They were blinded. And they were part of the church. And Peter says, "Well, God sent me, the Holy Spirit sent me, I preached the word, they received the Holy Spirit," and these people were hushed. They were still in the church, but they were hushed. In other words, resistance was there, it was just quiet down. But they were still there. And they grow. Their church, even as the Gentile church were growing, Antioch church was growing, and Paul's first missionary journey, more Gentiles come to know the Lord, news travel fast. You know the unfortunate thing? Sometimes bad news travel faster than good news. And so, the good news will travel. Oh, thousands of people have come to know Jesus. But some of the news says, to them is bad news, Gentiles. So it traveled and it must have reached all the circumcision party. I call them the anti-Gentile group. And this group of people grow so strong because in Jerusalem, they were not dealt with. They were just hush. But they were still present. They have voting power, campaigning power. They came all the way in Acts 15. Look over Acts 15. By now, they are a very strong group. In Acts 15, verse 1, they have reached the place where they say, Acts 15, verse 1, "Unless you are circumcised, and unless you keep the law or custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." They have even developed their own doctrines. And their doctrines were completely contradictory to Jesus' gospel. The thing about this is here. They were a small little group that were harsh up. But now, it says in verse 1, they came from Judea. They were even teaching. This little group of people were even teaching the false doctrine among them. And when they reached Antioch in verse 2, Paul and Barnabas stood their ground. And they say, no, as far as we know, this is false doctrine. They recognize it as false doctrine. And they say, where are you guys from? They say, oh, we are from Jerusalem. And they claim to have authority from Jerusalem. You know why? Because if they are not dealt with in Jerusalem, they will only hush up, but not dealt with. They continue to think that they are right. Have you noticed that in Christianity and in the church, all the time people, everybody always think they are right? Have you noticed that? It's a strange phenomenon. Everybody thinks they are right. But in the end, right and wrong is determined by God and the Word of God. Right and wrong is not determined even by how many people believe in it. It's determined only by God. And is determined by God, who is the judge of all things. And is determined by the Word. Is it in line with the Word? And so Paul and Barnabas say, all right, if you guys are from Jerusalem, we will go to Jerusalem and challenge this doctrine. And they went all the way to Jerusalem. You can read about it in Acts 15. They had a big meeting in Jerusalem. How big was the meeting? Let's look at Acts 15. In verse 6, the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And when they came together, in verse 7 it says, there had been much dispute. In other words, I don't know how long the meeting lasts. Probably the meeting lasts many, many hours, an entire day. Because by now, that small little group in Acts chapter 11, a small little group, had grown bigger and bigger and bigger, and now they have even speakers for the group. And in that meeting, they were arguing. And let's look carefully here in Acts 15, verse 5. Some of the sect of the Pharisees, and remember, the Pharisees are supposed to be the high class people. Some of the sect of the Pharisees who believe rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So they had a big voice, they had a big debate, and they were arguing. Thank God, in the end, they settled the question. And after all the discussion and hearing the testimonies, the apostles make a decision, and they said it is not necessary in Acts chapter 15. And in verse 28 and 29, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. You abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from sexual immorality. You keep yourselves from this, you will do well. So they say, you don't need to be circumcised. You don't need to keep Moses' law. Just watch for all these things. Which is okay. So it became a church policy. From that time onwards in Acts 15, anyone who disagree with that doctrine becomes outside the church. For the first time, the group of circumcision people, a party, the group of anti-Gentile people is considered extreme. You hear about them later in the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, Paul regarded them as the devil's people. Paul regarded them as anti-Christian, not just anti-Gentile, and anti-Jesus. In Galatians 5, in the book of Galatians, he even says, these people who want to circumcise people and make people Jews, they might as well castrate themselves and they might as well get rid of themselves. And he regard them, you know what he called them? dogs. Paul doesn't even regard them as Christians anymore. Says, beware of dogs. So he regarded these people as out. Now, here is where the beginning of the second missionary journey comes forth. With this new understanding, with this new doctrine that they lay down, they had now these official letters. You know, they wrote all these things down. They now have letters of the meeting in Acts 15. And with these letters, Paul and Barnabas became people who bear these letters. In verse 25 to 27, Acts 15. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you. We are beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. So they have a written conclusion. They have witnesses of the meeting. And they went forth to announce the new ruling. Out of that meeting, Paul and Barnabas decided to travel around to the whole place. And wherever they went, they will bring this new ruling that they have about the Gentiles. So in Acts, when they went forth their second missionary journey, this was now the accepted practice and doctrine. Gentiles do not have to keep Jewish laws. They just have to keep from immorality, keep from all the wrong things and false idol worship, and just follow Jesus, and they will be safe. So the second missionary journey is marked by a foundational doctrine. What can we learn from the second missionary journey? First of all, that as you saw in your map, the second mission journey, they went further and further into Gentile area. In their first journey, they found they have grace and favor, or open door to the Gentiles. Now they go boldly among the Gentiles in the second mission journey. What they learned in their first journey became solid foundation steps to climb up higher. The first thing we learn from Paul's second mission journey is this. That every expansion, I treat his journey as expansions. Every expansion requires a revelation. Doctrinal revelation. Every time God wants to expand in his church, there will be a revelation. Why don't I call it a doctrinal understanding? Because revelation is beyond doctrines. Revelation is an experience of the doctrine. Because sometimes we hate knowledge, but we don't have experience. When you have the knowledge, the correct knowledge and the experience, then the knowledge has become a revelation to you. You can read a book about how to drive a car. You won't qualify until you actually go into the car and drive. And then even then, you need to be experienced enough in driving before you're given a license. So what do you have to do in order to get a license? You have to sit for your theory first. So the theory tells you all the rules about the road. Red light, stop, and you know, junctions, what to do. You learn all the road rules. But even you can pass, even if you pass your theory with 100% mark, they will not give you a full license yet. All you have is the permission to learn the practical. You don't have a full license. You only have the L license, which is permission to learn and experience what you learn in theory. So with your L license, you have to be under tutor. You have to be taught by someone with experience, and you've got to experience the car for yourself. You have to experience what it means to put the rules to work. And you know, a lot of times you can know it in your head, but you actually to do it is different. How many new learners come to a junction, and if they have to turn right at the junction, and it's a very busy road, many